The inspiration for this share was a share that I heard once from Rob in Cleveland, who was inspired by a share from Herb Scheinberg, the same topic. I mean, the official title, the title was, you know, that's a silver string title. Herb Scheinberg, when he gives this, I don't know if he still gives it, but he used to give a share every year for the ladies, and his introduction to this, the issue of cleaning for Pesach, is that there are many mitzvahs a woman has a chiyuv to do on the night of Pesach. In terms of the general on the night of Pesach, but specifically, woman is chayav in the mitzvah of Haggadah, woman is chayav in the mitzvah of Dalat Kesis. She's chayav in matzah, she's chayav in mor, woman is chayav in simchas yom tov. So there are many mitzvahs a woman has to do, which cleaning for Pesach sometimes ends up being a stira to those mitzvahs. She comes to the Seder, she's so exhausted she can't focus on the Haggadah. So if she's mechuyev to clean for Pesach the way she cleans for Pesach, okay, she did her mitzvah, now it comes the next mitzvah, so she's an onus, or an lusa really. But however, if she really wasn't mechuyev to clean like that, so she ended up being matmer to clean in a way which ended up taking away from the mitzvah she is mechuyev to do the night of the Seder. It's not logical to go overboard in the world of cleaning, and the result of that being you're not doing this as you are mechuyev to do when it comes to the night of the Seder. That's number one. Number two, there is a language of the Shulchan Aruch which he says that because of the case over there, the women were scrubbing the walls, and he says you can't laugh at them because they have what to rely on, that you're supposed to do such a thing. So Shavur says on that, that's the language of the Shulchan Aruch. It says that minig yisok is kedoshim, the minhagim of Christ of HaKadosh, and you can't laugh at them because there's Yishan which seems to indicate that, you know, you can do such a thing. The idea over there being that they used to whitewash the walls, and sometimes there was starch used in the whitewash, like, and the starch theoretically at one time had been edible, so maybe it was considered a thumb, so now that's why they're masculine to take it off. So it's not totally off the wall, excuse me for the pun, to do that. The point of doing this, Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't make fun of a minig. So if we have a minig that when Nashim are doing something with the cleaning, etc., we shouldn't make fun of it. Doesn't say you should do it, so you shouldn't make fun of it. So if there's a minig, we're not, you know, we don't touch minhagim. If a person has a minig to do something, they do it. That's, but there's a lot of minhagim which are way beyond, or things which people are doing, I don't want to call them minhagim, which people are doing, which are way beyond what a person is to do. But a lot, especially people which are not staying for Pesach, they're staying for Pesach. A little more complicated to do, not staying for Pesach, but not what you need to do is really minimal in regards to cleaning for Pesach. Because say, well, I'll sell my whole house, I won't have to clean for Pesach. You know, and how much do you think? Cleaning for Pesach is not so overwhelming. Spring cleaning is. So as long as you keep the spring cleaning and the cleaning for Pesach separate, we're okay. The last point, which I saw, which is a socio-economic, historical background to the issue, is once upon a time, everybody lived in the one-room house. So who didn't live in the one-room house? The very rich people. The very rich people had servants from the monoshop. The rich people had servants, had the servants. The poor people didn't have servants, only had one room to clean. So how much is involved with cleaning one room already, you know? But nowadays, even the people who don't have the servants still have more than one room. And the result being that cleaning for patients becomes more complicated. So we're going to try and make things put things in perspective. So what I'm going to do is, first I'm going to give some basic ideas, and then we'll go through specific areas where that you can clean and talk about how to clean them. See, even the title says how not to clean. I'm going to talk about how to clean. So it's just to get you in. We won't become. Okay, there are three ideas of cleaning which are necessary. The one idea is, it says in Halacha that in order to do Bedikah properly, it's difficult to do Bedikah properly when you have a lot of dirt there. So you need to clean to get the dirt away to be able to check to see if there's problems with comments there. Therefore, the Lashon of Rav Ramah was on the 13th in the afternoon, they would clean for a few hours or to facilitate the Bedikah. That's the language of the Ramah in Shem Shulchan Aruch. They would clean for a few hours before the Bedikah to facilitate the Bedikah. So one area of cleaning, we do a lot more cleaning besides that to facilitate our Bedikahs than a few hours beforehand, starting the afternoon of the 13th. So one area of cleaning is you have to clean things in order to, and you shouldn't be able to buy your Rabbi Yimotze. You have to You have to clean. What are you looking for when you're cleaning over there? What exactly the Isha Bayurvei Matzei applies to two possibilities. If it's edible chametz, even smaller than a kezayis, unless it's just totally worthless. The size of a Cheerio would be basically your, anything less than the size of a Cheerio really, if it's, you know, if I have a crumb on the table, I might eat it still. If I have a crumb on the floor, I'm not going to eat it anymore. It's possible, it's not significant, it has no significance in halacha, regardless of by your way. Motzei, it's not important. It's garbage, it's dirt, it's not chametz anymore. In regards to this, by your way, motzei, only chametz, it's not called only chametz, it's worthless. Already something the size of a Cheerio, if it's edible, is a problem. You have to do bedika and find that and get rid of it. Besides that, if there's a kezayis of chametz, even if it's not edible, as long as it's totally, you know, it's you know, and even a dog would look at it and say, I don't want it. So it's semi-edible, so it's a kezayis of, so you have your kid decided to take the Legos and roll them in dough, you know, so you have these pieces of dough stuck to it. It's not really edible anymore, they've been sitting there for a little while, there's a little bit dirty, etc. So that's not a problem unless there's a kezayis of chametz there. So if it's edible and it's very small, it's irrelevant. If it's edible and it has some size to it already, it's significant. If it's not edible, so then the significance starts, the problem starts at the size of a kezayis. Okay, so that's, it's about cleaning, so those are the three things to just keep in mind. That's the first area which that we clean for. The second area which we talk about cleaning is, okay, so it's a very minimal amount of chametz there on my toy, but I know that my child is going to put this toy smack in the middle of my Pesach table. So even a mashu of chametz, I can't eat a mashu of chametz. I don't want this, my child putting the toy onto the table with this mashu of chametz on it. I want to make sure that my toy, so much is going to be going onto the Pesach, will be near food. In some way or other, it has to be totally clean. That's the second area of cleaning we're talking about. It's nothing to do by your way much. That's now the issue of eating. Eating is even a mashu. I don't want a mashu of chametz, something which is edible chametz, near my food. So I have to be careful about that. So if I put something which I'd be putting on the table, has to be totally clean. And the third area of your cleaning we talk about is if you're making Pesach, is you need to clean from the kitchen to be able to use the kitchen, the kasher, etc. So you're talking about cleaning the table to make sure that there's no chametz on the table so you can use the table. And you're talking about cleaning out the sink or cleaning out the oven. What you have to do is you can kasher out your oven to make it usable for Pesach. So that's really three different areas. There's three different areas of cleaning that we're going to talk about. Okay? So let's go to the first area. So let's say a person, they're not staying for Pesach. We're worrying about cleaning to clean the kasher out. That's not our issue. There's nothing going on the table. That's not my issue. The issue is I need to clean up. I shouldn't have a problem by the Rabbi Motzei. I need to clean up. So the amount that I'm looking for is going to be, again, if it's edible, it's just a little bit, then it's not significant. It's irrelevant. So I'm not cleaning in the bedrooms, which where I'm not eating. Whether I'm staying or not, I'm not cleaning in the bedrooms, I'm not cleaning in the toy room, I'm not cleaning in the den, I'm not cleaning in these places to look for a crumb. That's irrelevant. I don't have to look for that. I do need to be looking for a piece of chametz, which we know, which would be significant, i.e. a Cheerio-size piece of chametz which is edible. Or if it's inedible, a kezayis. A kezayis is about they say if you take a shot glass of whiskey's worth, that's a kezayis. That's a picture that much chametz on that object, anywhere on the object altogether. So if I have a toy and it has a little bit of chametz there, a little bit of chametz there, add up to a kezayis, I have a problem. I have a chair, if I add up to, it would be a problem. Not in the dining room chair. We're talking about, outside of the eating area. We're not talking about the eating area. So that's all I have to look for. You go into your bedroom, you vacuum the floor. That's it. You don't have the Cheerios in the rug anymore. There's no Cheerios in the rug, hopefully, at that point in time. there might be some of the krum in there, but the krum is irrelevant. It doesn't make any significance to it. An area which you're not going to be going to at all. Now, okay, so toys. Toys which are not, which will not be coming in contact with food. Your child is small, it's still playing with toys, it's not bringing them to the table. You have a problem with this, large, older child is already slapping stuff around, and wherever he goes, it's a smaller toy. You're checking in the playpen, you're checking in the place where food is not an issue. You're looking in the suit, you're looking in the briefcases, you're looking in the backpacks, you're looking in these types of things. So you're looking for something the size of a Cheerio. You're looking for a kedayis, an ounce, 1.1 ounces of theoretically inedible chametz. Not so hard to find that. A person will look through that so quickly, wipe it out, take the briefcase, shake it upside down. At that point in time, you're going to get everything out of it. Pockets of clothing. So, you know, especially mothers, you know, so there's one pocket, there is the little bag of Cheerios which went into the pocket. So at one point in time, there was chametz in there, you should check those pockets. So let's differentiate between the pockets you're going to be using on case and the pockets you're going to be, you have X amount of things you're going to be wearing on Yom Tov. That means you're not going to be wearing on Yom Tov. It's going to stay in the closet. So you get rid of the kazayas, you look for your kazayas and chametz, you look for your Cheerio, there's nothing in there. Goodbye. You don't have to do anything more than that. You don't send it to the cleaners. You don't have to wash it in the washing machine. You don't have to do anything else. It's there and it's taken care of. So much you're going to wear on Pesach itself, but if you're sitting, by the table with this garment on, so you want to make sure that there's no crumbs on the clothing, that it shouldn't be falling off into your soup and then eating the soup. So that's a different story. But, you know, I said, let's send it to the cleaners. But it's something which you're hanging in the closet. There's no reason to send it to the cleaners. Now there is a law in regards to the Bika, talks about the Bika is required on pockets, but most places can say that since our Bika nowadays, again, we have a larger house, etc., there's a lot to do but a lot of the Bika, person can clean the pockets beforehand and be sonmas on that. If you clean them well, you're not mafuz the Bika on the pockets. That Theoretically, even you look in your pocket. Yeah. You're not going to do bedika. In other words, even though Shulchan Aruch says that you need to do bedika, means on the night of the 14th, you take your flashlight and you look inside the pocket, you're not going to do that. So that's you know, beyond the cleaning issue is there's a bedika issue. So the bedika, the cleaning over here will function for the purpose in place of the bedika for pockets. That applies, a lot of places can take this halacha of pockets and, let's say you're going away for Pesach, you still have to keep the bedika in your pockets. And you don't make a bracha on bedika in pockets. The only thing you're going to be checking are your by your parents. The only thing you have to check is your pockets. You don't make a bruch on that because it's not a bias. It has to be a bias. So that's important because that means the stroller, means the playpen, means the carriage, it means the car, means the suitcase. You don't make a bruch on. So wherever you are, but that all you're doing bedika is on those things. You will not be making a bruch on those things. And once that should not be making a bracha on those things, a lot of persons say you can do them. We wait till the night of 14th because why do a bedika in a way where you're going to end up losing? The only night you can make a bracha is the night of the 14th. Well, you're going to lose the bracha if you do it early. Really, you can do those things, bedika, the night of the 13th, the night of the 12th. You don't have to wait till the night of the 14th to bedika those things. So while you're cleaning them, you're cleaning out the suitcase, the briefcase, etc. You can do bedika on them at that time. So how are you doing bedika on them at that point in time? So bedika is required to be done on two things. It has to be done in direct sunlight or by the light of a candle or a flashlight. Flashlight only works at nighttime. So anything which is mobile, very no problem. You go over to the window and you stand there, you look at it, you've done bedika on it, you can now put it away. You do not need to worry about it the night of Pesach. The night of the night before Pesach. So anything as you're cleaning the toy, as you're cleaning anything which you're going to be putting away, you can take care of the bedikah responsibility in those things as part of the cleaning process by putting it next to the window. So much you cannot do that, so you can do it at night time, you can do it the night before with a flashlight, and you're done, you're bedikah and those type of things, and that's it. So the pockets, we say you only do bedikah at all, we just rely on cleaning. Something like a playpen or a stroller or a carriage, if you can get them done beforehand, you could be better to take them outside and look at them, you're done with them. You don't have to worry about them the night of Pesach. Okay, yeah. Yes. Correct. Correct. You heard me correctly. Yeah. I am Jewish. Yes. I am Orthodox. It's well-lit. So one person said well-lit is okay. It's better to do with a flash. I mean, better to do with a flash. Okay, so now getting back to the toys. So I'm cleaning out the toys. So toys which are a lot of different pieces and a lot of stuff in there and you're afraid the kid's going to schlep it to the table. Put them away for Pesach. You know, the ones that are really hard to clean, put them away for Pesach. The ones that are not so hard to clean, the best thing is you put them into the bathtub, stop them in the bathtub, let them soak in water a little bit, if you have a spritz or something like that, spritz them down, you get off any comments which is there, and that's it. That's all you have to do. Rinse it under pressure. This person who says you don't have to do anything more than that. That's all you have to do. That's sufficient. So Rav Scheinberg, the quote of the notes, they said that he suggests, since it might come in contact with food, there might be some food on it, so you have to make it that it should be considered edible. If you put something in there, some type of detergent, something in the water, to clean it, so you made it that it's inedible, anything which is there. So you soak it in with some type of a detergent, some type of a cleansing agent in the water, soak it in, absorbs it, done with, shalom ayisra. One thing to keep in mind, if you ever get, you're getting baby presents, you get a doll or something, put one away for Pesach. If you're in the world of making Pesach, when you ever get a doll or something, you know, somebody gives you, your kid gets a present for a birthday present, oh, we have that already. Okay, put it away for Pesach, and then you don't want to deal with the Pesach. So you have two sets of checkers, one for Pesach and one not for Pesach. Chutes and ladders. We have two chutes and ladders. We have a Pesach chutes and ladders and a non-Pesach chutes and ladders. So, whatever it is. Okay. Books, children's books, svarim, as long as they're not coming to the table, the crumb is not an issue. Because it's not going to be coming out, the crumbs are not significant. The only time you'd be worried about it, if you have something which has a significant amount on it, and maybe some of it is still considered semi-edible, you know, a bench or something like that, which you don't, you know, a lot of persons say, take your benches, put them with the chametz, and sell them with the chametz, and that's it. So the guy owns a few benches, and that's probably good for him to sell anyway. Benches, mirrors, those type of things. But any book you want to put on the table, putting on the table, that's already a scary thing, because it's used with crumbs, it's used on the floor, there's crumbs on the floor, etc. Now, you know, a crumb comes off of the book and goes on to the food. You don't want to do that. Best thing to do is keep it, just don't put it on the table if possible. Keep it away. You read the books on the chair, not on the table, on the couch, whatever it is. If you do put it on the table, put something down. You know, put down the towel before it goes onto the table. So this is going onto the towel, not going onto the table itself. Okay, you're gonna go into the one area which is always questionable is what exactly do you need to do with the cosmetics and the deodorants and all those things. So in general, something which is not edible, which is not considered normal for consumption. Even a keller would stick up its nose up to look at it. It's not a problem. So your soaps are not a problem. Anything which is solid is not a problem. A stick deodorant, those type of things are not a problem of chametz and pesach. When Moshe came along and said the Kiddush, if it's a liquid which has alcohol in it, even though the alcohol is not edible, because, I mean, according to the law, the alcohol in there has to be made in a way which is not edible. Moshe says, if you could theoretically distill it and get edible alcohol out of it, it's tamei chametz. So your perfumes and other things, which have, some of them have alcohols in them, which could be made edible, and supposedly alcoholics, which are very desperate, do that. I don't know from first-hand experience. So that would be a problem. According to Moshe, that's a problem. That's why you have all these lists of all these different things. That's all because of that, because of Moshe. That he said that, you know, otherwise just everything, all this stuff is not negaya. You just say, well, that's all because of medicine, etc. There is a minute some people have, even though they're not talking about your Rabbi Motze, putting it on and being, walking around near food, etc. You don't want to do unless it's mamish, there's not comments in it. So that's where it comes from also. But anyway, it's just solid, it's not an issue. You know, so I think Rabbi Eider in his Halacha of Pesach, you know, says that way back when he came out with that, you know, so 30 years ago, Moshe Mabashi says anything with a salad is not a problem. Okay, you move past the toys, you move past the books, you move past the bedrooms. And you're getting closer to the kitchen. You're getting closer to areas where... And one area which people, in a place where people don't keep in mind so much, is hands. Yeah. Right. Correct. Right. Checked with one of the books. Yeah. One area which people don't always keep in mind, telephones, your kitchen telephone is chometz gomer. You know, you pick it up with your hands straight from the dough and you're making the challah. You put it next to your mouth while you look at the thing. My advice, you know, we live in a society which, you know, you can buy a phone for $10. Have a case of the phone. Put it, just take off the comments of the phone off the wall, put the face of the phone on the wall, you live with it for 9 days, and that's sufficient. It's not going to valve. If you open up the mouthpiece, you can open up the mouthpiece, usually you screw it off. There's comments inside, you'll see, you know, comments inside there. It's just like, it's scary. And, you know, but people don't realize that. Other things that people don't think about, just on the same lines, is money. You know, we walk out, you know, call them more, you go shopping, etc. You know, you're touching things which have been in contact with who knows what, where they've been sitting. So when you come back into your house and you're ready to eat, wash your hands. And just be aware of that, you know, because you've been in contact with things. You walk outside, you come back inside, even the threat, I mean, you're almost going to wash off your shoes, but you should be aware that your floor, I don't care how well you clean it beforehand, your floor, you're dragging comments in. Because you walked around outside, I don't know what you stepped in, etc., and the bottom of your shoes is coming back into the house. So even if you swept up before you emptied as best as possible, the floors are going to still be something which you cannot rely on if they're not chometz. That's why if something falls on the floor, you want to wash it off before you use it again. And there used to be a minute you smell if something fell on the floor. I don't know, they had that in your mishpacha, that fell on the floor, they threw away flat to peso. What? Yeah, they it falls on the floor, they put away cloth to face. We don't do that. But the mice, you should wash it before you use it, you know. Anything that's falling on the floor, you should wash it before you use it. So a telephone, refrigerator, the handle of the refrigerator. You know, you're touching that handle constantly, you go touch the face up again, it should be washed well. Light switches. The light switch on the dining, light switch on the kitchen, those other things. So those areas that you should wash them off, a doorknob. You know, doorknobs are definitely an area which has a lot of comments in it. You can't just see little comments all over your doorknob. Yes?
If the book is not something that would be edible, the western side of cereal, is not an issue to check for. But then why, if you're looking at your doorknob and your phone, why wouldn't have something that gives you the size
material?
Why is it?
Good question. Again, thank you for asking the question. Good question. That issue was in regards to ownership issues that are relevant. In regards to eating issues, the smallest amount of comments is a problem. So if you're touching it and then you're eating, etc., coming in contact with them on Pesach, while you're in the world of eating, that's
not recognizable as
chomis. Again, chomis is also the mashavah. Mashavah means it has to be visible. But, we're not really focusing on what visible means. You don't know what's on there. Has the oils around? I don't know what's on there. I don't know. So I just say, just if you wash your hands, you're safe. No, I know. You're not going to worry about that. Okay. Okay, so we're in the kitchen. The first step of the kitchen is the chametz of the kelim. What do you need to do with the chametz of the kelim? If any kelim has been washed and is clean, you do not need to do anything. You wash it already, it's clean. Again, this is something which you're putting away, you're not using it for Pesach. The only issue is that it has some edible chametz in it, or it's desirous worth of in edible chametz in it. When you put your dishes away after Shabbos, you probably know that there's not a kazayas worth of inedible chametz, I hope, on it, and there probably wasn't a curious worth of edible chametz either. Right? So the only issue is by your Rabbi Motze, put it away, tape it off that you shouldn't come to use it by mistake on Pesach, and that's it. You don't have to do anything more than that. So anything that's been washed, you do not need to take them out and wash them again. You have to wash them like a second time for patients. You don't have to wash them. You do not need to wash them a second time for patients. The reason why people, the areas which are going to be using for your patient dishes, people line it because there you're really dealing with maybe a crumb or something will get onto the plate, so you want to make sure that it's lined. All you need to do is line it. It's the paper lining, part of minute you sell, is put paper lining down the covered patient. Tables and chairs. So the table you're going to cover it with if you're staying for Pesach, you're going to cover your table with something which is waterproof, or enough layers that liquid will not be touching the table, and the hot taste of the object which is going to go onto the table. So you put down a hot pot or something like that, a hot dish. That heat, if there's any liquid there, if it connects the table which is chametz, has chametz in it. And the pot, you have a problem. So you put something waterproof down. You put a thick layer down. So enough of this, you can cardboard down, something like that. There's something in between which will block it. But waterproof is for sure good. Besides that, you buy your obey mutz on the table. So again, so if it's beyond, connected to the table, a kazayas worth of inedible chametz, or alternatively, less than a kazayas, the material size with edible chametz, that would be a problem. So that you should clean your table over. You just wash it off. You wipe it down. You do not need to use the pin to scrape out every single mashu of chametz which is there, because that's the only issue you have is chametz which is loose. And the bottom is something hanging down, which could fall down onto your lap and then walk up your lap into your food. Right, to understand why you get nervous. Right? Chametz walks on Pesach. So it's fall under the bottom table onto your lap and then climb up your lap into the food. I understand why as you get up, it might fall. Okay. Well, other than that, you don't have to make it yourself in sugar, with a razor and cutting off, taking off a layer of some wood. You don't have to do that. I do that every year, by the way, with the razor. My wife says, why are you doing this? You don't have to do it. You're right. But anyway, I think it's all confession. That's all you have to do. Now, the chairs, theoretically, that's your dining room table, it's your kitchen table, it's any table, etc. Theoretically, on chairs, there are crumbs there, which, theoretically, one crumb alone would not be a problem. If there's more than one crumb, instead of adding up, you get pretty crummy over there, a chair, so maybe there's a kazayas altogether of all of the crumbs. even if it's not edible. The other thing with chairs is your mom is sitting on the chairs, your clothing is going directly on that chair. As you shake the chair around, some of those crumbs shake out. You could get crumbs, you can see theoretically crumbs getting onto you, onto the table. I can see why somebody's machmer on cleaning out the chair as well. The chairs is probably an area where it is worthwhile to clean them out well. Again, it's something which is glued on, that's not your problem. As long as you can inspect it and see if there's not a kazayas with the chumash there, just, you know, there's a little mashu's, you can't get it off, so just don't worry about it. The refrigerator, so you don't have to kasher your refrigerator, but you have to clean out the refrigerator well. One area which people, so you take out the shelves, clean down the inside of the refrigerator, wipe it down. The shelves, nothing to do with the shelves, just to line them, in case there's any, alternatively, you could take the shelves, you could back to your bathtub, stick on the bathtub with some detergent, something like that, which would be plugging anything which is there, wash it under, rinse it under pressure, and you're good. Or you just cover them, and cover them is sufficient. The refrigerator gasket, which has those folds, you should be aware that there's some can get stuck in there. That's an area to look into.
So it's not enough just to scrub down
You can start if you scrub them down, but it's hard to get every single, you know, get all the surfaces. It's just much easier to take them out. Practically, it's much easier to take them out. Now they have some of these refrigerators, which are not the wire, they're the glass ones, but maybe it's easier to leave them in. Like, something has the whole big glass thing with the headaches, and maybe it's easier to leave them in. But the wire ones, for sure, just like, you know, why might make yourself a sugar. Cabinets. So the handles is this an area which you want to worry about the outside of the inside of the handle, your cabinet you lined, the ones that you're using. The handle's an area which you want to make sure you wash it well. Again, this area your hands are going to be going on, your hands went on there many times, etc. You want to wash those down. And the area right around, you know, right around there. If you have a cabinet directly over your stove, over the range, the stove top, what do you call it? The range top, right? So you have all of your steam of all of your comments of the foods going directly onto that. That's an area you'd want to directly cover. So you shouldn't have any questions of Zaya. Theoretically, you can make arguments. Not considered Zaya. For Pesach already, same if you have a stove with a hood, you should just cover the hood. Because the hood has just absorbed all of that grease and all those of the, there's plenty of chametz which it absorbed into there, and just leave it over there. Okay, sinks. So if you have a porcelain sink, you can't kosher a porcelain sink, an enamel sink. I don't know if people still have those nowadays. I don't know. In the towers, they still have that? What do they have? Do they have stainless steel in the towers? Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Okay. So if you have a porcelain sink, you have to line it. Either you line it with contact paper, which is what we did when we were in parallel, or use an insert, the sink insert. If you do an insert, it should be sitting on something. It should be sitting directly on the bottom. If you're sitting on something, if you have a stainless steel sink, you can kosher it. To kosher the sink, you have to 24 hours. You do not use hot water in the sink. So. When Pesach comes out on a Monday night, so Motzei Shabbos, 2 days before that, you can kosher out. You say 24 hours, you haven't used any hot water in the sink. It would be a great time to do it. And this year it's a little bit, it's 4 days till Pesach. You want to kosher your sink 4 days beforehand and make your house Pesach. That's fine, if you want to do that. But after 24 hours, if there's nothing hot, use in the sink. Period. Before you can kosher it. At that point in time, you should pour some type of a cleaning agent down the drain, clean out the drain. Make sure there's nothing beyond where the seal by the drain is. And you take boiling hot water and you pour it all over all of the areas of the sink. That's sufficient to kosher. You might need you might need to use one or two kettles worth. You could do it part by part. You can do it all in one shot. Make sure you destroy every area. Kosher. The faucet also has to be kosher, because the faucet is direct, the steam of your chametz is going right into that. So the faucet also has to be kosher. The handles do not need to be kosher. They need to be cleaned well, that there's not absorbing anything to any type of hot, etc. So the handles just do not need to be kosher. You should have cleaned them well. If you have a plastic, one of those spritzers only that was just plastic, that's just cover it over. But, you know, you can't take it out. You just cover it over. Can't kosher that. Yeah. Did you lose your question? No, I don't know. Interesting thought. I'm not aware. I have to think about it. I'm not sure. Okay, I will check into it whenever. You can ask me again in a few days. I have to check into it. Okay. After you finish koshering, anytime you're koshering something, the right thing to do when you finish the process is to run cold water on it. And the idea behind that being, well, that's a minute, then we do that, is if there's any thing that it absorbs out, you want to wash that away and get rid of that. I'm just thinking how it plays out in that scenario. I don't think, I don't know, let me think about that. Regardless of countertops, so halacha says you can kosher wood, you can kosher stone. So theoretically, if you have your person have these granite countertops and those type of things, you can kosher them. Now that's not necessarily true, because some of them are, there's like the real stone, and there's the one which is like they use pieces of stone with epoxy and then put it together and make it look like stone. And they call it stone because it's stone, but the epoxy is not kosherable. So if you get a real slab of granite, real bona fide granite, you can kosher it. What you would do is clean everything off, and then just pour your hot water on it, and that's it. That's all you have to do. Assuming that you would have that, that's fine. If you have wood, you have a butcher block, you could kosher it down like that also. Make sure it's clean, and you can kosher it out. Anything else, you should cover. You cover with the ladies know how to cover things better than I do. You can cover that. This way, there's no issue of contact between the counter and the backsplash should also be covered. You're looking at the counter and you're looking at the area behind it by the wall, that also should be covered. Things splash there, etc. Behind the stove, behind the countertop, behind the sink, that's there which you should be covering. Okay. Ovens. So the Russian created self-cleaning ovens. And self-cleaning ovens, kosher your oven for Pesach. And that's great. If you have a self-cleaning oven, you're then self-designed. And the only thing you should be aware of when you have a self-cleaning oven is that works for the inside of the oven. The outside of the gasket, which is not inside, does not get self-cleaned. You should clean that out. You should look to see if there's any crumbs which gathers over there. Any air which is not inside, you still should be washing out and cleaning out. If you don't have a self-cleaning oven, so there's something called continuous cleaning oven. It's not so common anymore. I don't think people talk about it. I don't exactly. I've never seen it. So I'm not going to talk about that. If you have a regular oven, whether it's gas or electric, you can kosher it for Pesach. You should clean it out with an oven cleaner beforehand. It's the best thing to do with that. An oven cleaner beforehand. Easily off something like that. Be careful, don't hurt yourself. Follow instructions carefully, wear a glove, and clean it out. Anyone there's a problem, put it on the highest setting, which is broil or 550, or broil for 20 minutes, get to the highest temperature for a while, and sits there, and you can use the replacement. When you're self-cleaning, you should clean the racks also. self-cleaning for the racks, and if you're not yom self-cleaning, you should ease off the racks, and then that has to do with the racks is, before you use them for Pesach, is to cover them with some type of foil, leave, cut out things that the air should get through, it shouldn't be a problem with that, it should cook well, and you're good to go. The world of oven inserts, as people are who hold this not sufficient, then they have oven inserts. I'm accountable that's sufficient to do that. You don't need to use oven inserts. This is sufficient. Well, some self-clean are okay. The self-clean, the racks are the only thing with the racks. Regular oven is you should clean it off. So if you feel you can clean it off well, you can use easy off and do it easy off on all the things, but you don't have to cover it. You can do that. Yes? While you're self-cleaning, if you have a gas range top, you can take the grates and put the grates into the oven, and the grates, which the pot sits on, can be self-cleaned in the oven, and that's it. You don't have to do anything more to the grates. So you save yourself the time of dealing with the stovetop. You can just stick them in the oven. Most of them, I think, can handle the heat. They're made to have that, they can handle it at the heat, because they're handling the flame of the gas. They can handle the heat of the self-cleaning oven. So that's the oven. The stovetop, so the grates, mikra din, they're sitting directly, let's start with gas, if you have gas. I think they say that women, good folks prefer electric ovens and gas stovetops, is that how it works? Right? So if you'd be desirous to have that. So the grates itself, mikra din, do not need to do anything more than that. Our supposition suggests that you should kasher them, you can self-clean them. The other way, you know, in the old days, the way you could do them was you need to maintain, you want to take the heat which is there and concentrate it onto the grate, the heat the grate. So you make like a tent of foil to heat the heat in, and you turn it on, do one at a time, it gets quite hot. And I would kasher it also. The area in between the grates, you can't kasher. Especially just cover with heavy duty aluminum foil. It is problematic, it's not easy to deal with, and just cover it. Now, if you have electric, just set it for the highest setting, it gets glowing red hot, and you're taken care of. Underneath the stovetop, and you have the bib in beneath, which catches all of the food, and that area in between is an area which you must clean. That is an area which chances are you will have a kazayas worth of inedible chametz. It's an area which you will have chametz which is edible. It's an area which, so even though it's not coming in contact with the food, it is an area where there's chametz there. And theoretically, crumbs fly on Pesach, and they walk, and they move places, and they come out into your food. So you have to be scary about that also. So that is there, which you lift it up, clean it out. After you've made Pesach once, you make Pesach, you put down a nice layer of aluminum foil in there, you leave it there the whole year if you want. Next year of Pesach, you pull it out, and everything is taken out, and it's totally clean inside there. You don't have to worry about it again. You have enough to deal with scrubbing it out, etc., because you have to put a layer of foil in there, and it'll clean itself out. Okay. One area which people, toasters and those type of things, just you're going to put them away, so your issue is a kazayas worth of inedible chametz or a Cheerio size worth of edible chametz. So you clean it out, you don't put yourself in sugar, open it up outside, not in the house, open it up outside, shake it out well, go out to your merpeset over there and shake it out over your neighbor's head, right? Shake it out and wipe it down a little bit, and that's it. You don't have to damage something, you're not going to have a kazayas worth of, you know, like to see kazayas, look at it, inspect it. You see there's not a kazayas with the chametz in there, that's it. So you don't have to worry about it anymore. Your toaster oven, your toaster, etc. Microwaves. Regards to kashering microwaves. So I heard this from Rav Heinemann a while back, and there's the obvious point that it has to be clean. So you have to clean out, make sure you clean it out well. Beyond the issue of, is, the issue is, are the walls absorbing anything? You have to kash the walls of the microwave. The eighth that the mirror that depending on what, and that's important because if it's made out of, it's say what you can kosher, that's great. So what you can't kosher, it's made out of a plastic or made out of an enamel, some type of a porcelain, you can't kosher. Glass you can kosher, and metal you can kosher. You don't have to kosher if it absorbs something. It only absorbs if it gets hot. So you put in a cup of water, put on a high setting, let it go for a normal time, what normal time is, but a microwave, a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, open it up and put your hands against the wall. If the walls are not hot, it didn't absorb anything. So there's no issue of kashering the walls because there's nothing was absorbed. The only issue you have to worry there was the BN, which is there. You have to clean it out well, and that's it. Clean it out well, make sure that there's any food which is there, which is... Now, you do want to worry about if you're putting in a cup of you're in the microwave and it's putting out all this steam, it's going to absorb the ben which is there. So the ben has to be cleaned out very well, and you should be quite good. So if there's any ben there, it's going to go back into your cup of coffee. It's not going to go back in with some, it's flavored. So with any ben which is there, you clean out well, and then you use some type of a cleanser which is acceptable for the microwaves, which if there's any food which is there, it'll become pogum, so it's not considered edible anymore. So that's it. That's all you have to worry about. If it gets hot, you have to kosher your microwave. Now, not everybody holds you can kosher a microwave. There's no question whether you should kosher a microwave or not, because the system how microwave works is different than your regular system. Rahman would go to goes, you could be kosher a microwave, and I think Rainer holds that you could kosher a microwave. The way you would kosher the microwave is, the general rule is you would kosher it the same way it absorbs. That's how it comes out. So you take a bowl of water, put it in the highest setting, and zap it for, so it's full of steam, And let that steam, let it sit for 24 hours, not just any hot, make sure it's totally clean, and then you kosher it the way you would do by boiling a lot of water in there. The plate that it sits on, the glass plate on the bottom, you should replace. It was used directly with helmets, etc. That's you can take it out. You can either get another one for Pesach, or you can put in a piece of styrofoam, something like that. And you can put a piece down over there, which you can sit on that. It doesn't have to be dafka glass, which is in there. If you have a microwave with convection, it's more problematic. I'm not sure exactly how to do that, so I can't advise you on that. People have stovetops which are glass, Corning, halogen, C-RAN. They have it's more complicated how to kosher them. If somebody has that, you can come and speak to me. One area which they always yell at you and they have to keep in mind is the vacuum cleaner bag. The vacuum cleaner bag has a kezias worth of inedible chametz in it. There's no real dinner by everybody mussar. That's the only place that you're guaranteed in the house that you have a problem of by everybody mussar is in the vacuum cleaner bag. So make sure you get rid of the vacuum cleaner bag before there's not. The same thing is true with your broom, obviously, and your garbage cans. So we have a paste with a garbage can, we have a paste with a broom. And even in the broom, which is not that, you're putting away your chametz in the broom, but there could be a kezias worth of chametz in the broom. So you should take out your chametz stick of broom, even though it's not edible anymore, but it's because it's worth of inedible chametz is by your very much. So if you want to get rid of that, you want to clean it up before Pesach, take it outside and bang it off, and you're good. The floor, so the issue of the floor, so the rule would be something that falls on the floor, you wash it before you put it back on the table, because as much as you've swept the floor, but there is always things coming in. Yom Tov maybe a little less, Chol Hamoed a little more. And someone places, hopping the Nakuda, he says, don't let the kids ride the tricycle outside and ride the tricycle inside, because, the bicycle outside and the bicycle inside, because there's Thomas on the wheels. Because he rode down the block, by the guy, had his McDonald's hamburger on the ground. I don't know. So you'd want to worry about that. Before Pesach, you want to make the we don't eat off the floor. The crumbs on the floor, each one is dirt. We consider it dirt. You know, unless you swept up your Cheerio, etc. So really, the floor is itself not too much of a problem. You sweep it down, you do a bedikah on them, you don't see anything which is a kazayas over there, and you're happy. The Rishon Lishitos holds that all the crumbs in the bias and mitzvahs together, and then you have a kazayas with the crumbs. The ma'aser, we're not machmir on that. So each crumb by itself is not significant. You're not having a kazayas worth of these things. Together, you know, you look at each one separately, and in one place you don't have a kazayas worth, you would notice that, and that's all you have to worry about. The only issue, again, is you want to try to keep the floor clean, obviously, because things from the floor end up other places besides the floor. The floor, the dust from the floor goes up into the air, it goes onto the clothing. The kids play on the floor. So whatever's happening on the floor is significant. This would be the area higher than the floor, and that's why you want to try and keep the floor as clean as possible. But Mikra's in, inside Hippos by Rabbi Motse, there's not too much to do with the floors. Last point, areas where chametz are, and they're not really accessible. So, under the refrigerator. So somebody just, if it's an area which you never pull out, you never move out, you're not mostly used to move it out for taste. So if I have a bookcase and I have the brake front or something like that where it stays put, then I'm free to move it out for pace to see if there's anything there. I'm free to move the stove out to see if there's anything there. I don't usually move the stove. I'm free to move the stove out for pace. I'm free to move the refrigerator out for pace. Tamika, then you do not need to do anything there. You can mevatel it, and that's it. It's like, in halacha, it's like, there's a concept in halacha called chametz, which is covered over with something else, it's not accessible. You're mevatel b'libo, you don't have to do anything more. But a lot of people do clean it out, do take it out, etc. If you'd be moving out that stove, if something else fell down there, which is significant to you, you would be moving it out, then you would move it out for Pesach also. So if my diamond ring fell down there, I'd move out the stove, right? So I would say, well, here's the stove, you know, the stove don't move, so my diamond ring will stay there. You're not going to say that. You move it out. That's why people do move it out. The Nikra is in behind your, I guess, theoretically, you move your brake for that also. But, and again, that's an exaggeration. If someone would be not unheard of, a person moves, the person would move it for something, so then you'd move it for Pesach also. Someone you're just not really moving. It's very heavy. Staying in place, Zehu, you move it once in every 10 years, you're not going to move it for Pesach, and that would be it. Because I don't know what's going to go in and go out over there. Right. So the thing with the phone is just, just and the cord of the phone for sure. The cord of the phone drags on the floor and it's hanging, you can wipe down the whole cord if you want. And that cord is going to go over your kitchen table. You're sitting in the kitchen, speaking, working out of the sink. That cord is slapping, rubbing against your kitchen table. There's mamash chometz there. The cords are very scary. Okay, just, I have a list over here of areas. We'll go through them very quickly. One by one, just make sure we covered them. An attic, basement, those type of areas. So it's supposedly going alphabetically. I don't know what, it must be going across this way. Okay. So an attic, a basement, these type of places. We're worried about a small piece of chametz. If it's a place you never bring food in, the basement is for storage, you don't bring food there. The attic, you don't bring food there, so you're not going to do anything. If you have little children in the house, so you have a chiyuv b'dika. You're not going to do yourself sugar for cleaning it. You have a chiyuv b'dika because kids can take chametz anywhere. I have a friend who 3 weeks before Pesach, his kid took a box of saltines and put one cracker in every drawer of the house. Just the COVID Pesach was coming. Kids are wonderful. Okay. Behind furniture, behind stove, because you don't have to move them. Bird cage, you have to worry about if what you're feeding the birds is something that's as common as you should be checking your bird cage. Bookcases, the same thing. Behind the bookcases is not an issue. In the bookcases, you have to worry about the books. Briefcases, as we said, you take them, shake them out, clean them out, wipe them out, you're good. Cabinets, you should, inside the cabinets, you're going to wipe them out, wind them, put your things, the moment you're storing the comments thing, you can look them visually and that's it. The outside where the handles are, you're going to wipe down. Cake and bread boxes. Do they have cake and bread boxes nowadays?
Yeah.
They still have such a thing? Okay. You sell them. Okay. Yes. Sales pitch for cookbooks. Okay. That's Mamash Chametz goes over there. You're going to sell it with the Chametz. Best thing to do again, if you're looking for the minimal, you're looking for your share of Chametz. Car, truck, you're looking for the glove compartment, the trunk, between under the seats, under the mats, and the car seat. Carriage, so we spoke about that scenario which you could inspect visually beforehand, and that's you're looking for your shiurim of Chametz. Closets, the same thing. Clothes, the pockets, computer keyboards, I guess depends if you eat with your computer or not. Cookbooks is a good point. Cookbooks are probably full of comments. Write down your favorite recipes a week before Pesach on something which is Pesach and put the cookbooks away with the comments. Cosmetic bags, cosmetics, okay, so we spoke about that. The crib, desks, dishwashers, okay, dishwashers, I'm not going to get involved in kashering dishwashers. There is something to hold, you can kasher them. If you have it, you can ask me hello for the mice. Drawers, earthquake emergency kit. Man, he's getting very, very... Okay, factory. Okay, freezer. Okay, we didn't talk about the freezer. Freezer is a place you're clearly putting chametz in. You defrost your freezer, clean it out. The areas that you're going to use for Pesach, you should line it. And the areas you're not going to use for Pesach, you should mark up clearly. And when you're cleaning the freezer, you're looking again. You want to inspect it for its replacement with chametz and bedikas. You put chametz in there, you have to have a shear. The shearim of kazayas of inedible and a shear is worth of edible. Garbage cans, garbage pails there is an issue of potentially of chametz in there. Kazayas worth of inedible chametz, probably, or even maybe a Cheerios worth of edible chametz, so they have to be cleaned out. High chairs, infant seats, same, laundry hamper, okay, I guess, lunch boxes, medicine chest, pet house, picnic box, lunch boxes, picnic box, those are something you want to be putting away with the chametz. Very hard to clean out a lunch box well. Playpen, playroom, we spoke about that, pocketbooks, purses, radiators, we don't have radiators, refrigerator, we spoke about school bags, school lockers, if somebody has, the person has a kid with a down their school locker, sorum, telephone, mouthpiece and cord, and toys. There's a school list over here, putting away your baking utensils, cookbooks, toasters, venture lock, picnic baskets, comments of utensils, recipe box, mirrors, booklets, used toothbrushes, those you put away with the comments. Okay. Very good.